Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 87 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Arlo Barnett.
When you put someone in 10 years, you're basically giving up on them. And when they get out, can they be employed again? People who think it's not a problem, that it's working out just great with mandatory minimums, aren't paying attention.
Kentucky Senator Rand Paul is pushing back on a federal memo that encourages harsh penalties for drug offenders. Kentucky's public pension debt grew by $2 billion today in a move by state regulators that will draw more heavily on taxpayer money. And thousands of dollars have been lost to phone scammers posing as the Fayette County Sheriff's Department. In sports, MSU's baseball team begins a season in series tonight against Tennessee Tech. Bud Luke will bring us the stock report, and scattered showers and thunderstorms expected tonight, lows in the upper 60s. A full check of that forecast after the news. A Montgomery County judge passed judgment on Bass Webb today, sentencing him to life in prison for the murder of Sabrina Vaughn. WKYT reports Webb is already serving 50 years in prison for the murder of his former girlfriend, 31-year-old Briah Runowitz. Her mother, Dora Claire, attended today's sentencing, but says it didn't quite offer closure.
Closure? No. Satisfaction? Yeah. The more he gets, the more satisfied I am. His mama gets to see him, talk to him. I get to go see a grave. I get to touch a gold tombstone. She gets to touch a warm body. So, closure? No.
Webb murdered Vaughn in 2003 and Runowitz in 2009. He also took part in a riot while he was at the Fayette County Detention Center and infamously spit on a judge during a hearing in Bourbon County. A Johnson County 911 dispatcher has been arrested for alleged sex crimes. WIMT reports a 15-year-old of unspecified gender claims to have received pornographic images from 30-year-old Michael Hamilton. Hamilton is charged with prohibited use of electronic communication to procure sex from a minor and possessing or viewing matter portraying a sexual performance by a minor. Warrants have been issued for Hamilton's cell phone and social media accounts. He was booked into the Big Sandy Regional Detention Center early this morning. A Greenup County couple has been arrested on felony child abuse charges. Kentucky State Police report Sandra and Franklin Torres were arrested yesterday after an investigation following allegations of abuse of three children. The couple failed to report the allegations to the appropriate authorities. They also placed bars on the windows and used a padlock to keep a child locked in a bedroom. The incidents date back to 2016. Sandra and Frank Torres are charged with first-degree unlawful imprisonment and failure to report child abuse or neglect. They are held in the Greenup County Detention Center. When the General Assembly enters its budget writing session next year, it needs to prioritize the prevention of child abuse. That's the view of Louisville Republican and State Senator Julie Rocky Adams. The Senate Health and Welfare Chair spoke on CN2's Pure Politics. In order to stop the rising problem of child abuse and neglect, Adams says the Commonwealth needs to revamp social work.
We have too few social workers, we don't pay them enough money, and they carry too heavy of a burden with their caseloads. And so it's almost unrealistic to think that we put this pressure on this segment of a state worker, that really they're doomed to fail because we're not setting up a scenario in which they can be successful.
Adams says the Bevin administration has done a good job making the issue a priority. More than 15,000 child abuse or neglect cases were reported last year, a 55% increase from 2012. U.S. Senators Rand Paul and Patrick Leahy are continuing to push for support of the Justice Safety Valve Act, which aims to temper a recent recommendation from Washington that urges harsher sentencing for drug offenses. Senator Paul says he disagrees with Attorney General Jeff Sessions, who sent a memo last week directing federal prosecutors to pursue the most serious charges and sentences in drug cases. Paul says the current guidelines are leaving some citizens unfairly punished. and the Safety Valve Act would give judges more leeway in certain cases.
Whites were far more successful in plea bargaining process, and at virtually every stage of pretrial negotiations, whites did better than African Americans or Latinos. So I think there might be something to do with money, resources, and connections that allows you to get a different deal no matter what you're charged with. But it is crazy to charge like a teenager who happened to be in a car and his buddy is the guy that has the drugs, but now he's been charged with conspiracy just because they can.
The bipartisan legislation would reduce correctional spending, which currently makes up a third of the Department of Justice's annual budget. Senator Paul says it would free up funds for victim services, law enforcement, investigation, and prosecution of drug dealers. Kentucky's public pension debt grew by roughly $2 billion today when state regulators made dramatic changes to long-held investment assumptions. The changes mean the unfunded liability for the Kentucky Employees Retirement System's non-hazardous system grew to $13 billion from $11 billion. State taxpayers will have to pay significantly more into the system to keep it solvent. Just how much will not be known until later this year. The changes happened because the Kentucky Retirement System's Board of Trustees decided to lower estimates on payroll growth, inflation, and investment returns. It means Kentucky now has 13% of the money it owes to retirees over the next 30 years, which means it is among the worst-funded systems in the country. The Kentucky House Majority Leader is mulling over a proposal from a member of the Senate. Republican Jonathan Schell of Lancaster tells Spectrum News he's uncertain right now about a proposal offered by Senator Joe Bowen to remove the county employees' retirement system from the Kentucky employees' retirement system.
We'll see. I mean, it's something that we have to study out. Right now, I don't have a definitive answer. Two forms that you could look at it is that if you separate it, then you could really focus on the cancers that are inside of the pension system in the state.
However, Schell says the move could also pull away money needed to help prop up the KERS. Critics say the action would leave the already troubled state pension program even more unstable. Kentucky's pension systems are more than $32 billion in debt. New research finds that nearly 5.5% of Ohio workers are being paid less than minimum wage. The Ohio News Connection's Mary Sherman reports.
The Economic Policy Institute examined reports of minimum wage theft in the 10 most populous states, including Ohio. Among the states, the report found each year that 2.4 million workers are being paid less than minimum wage, amounting to more than $8 billion in lost wages annually. Report co-author David Cooper says nearly one in five of these workers live in poverty.
If every worker who reported being paid less than the minimum wage simply got brought up, 160,000 fewer workers would be in poverty. It's not going to be a silver bullet that changes the whole poverty landscape, but it does mean a lot more folks who are able to afford their basic needs without having to turn to public assistance programs.
5.5% of Ohio workers reported minimum wage violations totaling $600 million a year, which ranks the state second behind Florida among the 10 states surveyed. Mary Sherman reporting.
Cable company Charter Communications has shut down its Spectrum call center in Lexington, resulting in layoffs of 56 full-time workers. The Lexington Herald Leader reports Charter spokesman Mike Pedelty confirmed the decision yesterday and said Spectrum's strategy for providing better customer service hinges on larger call centers for more efficient communication with representatives. He says the company is working with terminated employees to provide severance benefits. Rowan County's new $18 million detention center continues to take shape. Judge Executive Walter Blevins says it's starting to look like a building right now, adding its roof should be done in the next 2 to 3 weeks. After that happens, the extensive work on its interior will begin. Blevins says the project's contractor is still predicting his crews will have the jail ready for occupancy by January.
Well, I understand they're right on time. We're doing great, and hopefully with some good warm weather and good dry weather, we'll even be that much further ahead.
Rowan's new 275-bed jail is being constructed at the site off of U.S. 60 just east of downtown Moorhead. Once completed, it will replace the current 78-bed facility, which was built about 30 years ago and is dealing with severe overcrowding issues. Officials at the lockup often have to oversee 110 prisoners or more on a daily basis. The Grayson City Council is contemplating ways to offset the number of out-of-city fire department calls. MSPR's Jacob Lindberg reports.
According to the Grayson Journal-Inquirer, nearly two-thirds of Grayson Fire Department runs are outside of city limits. Grayson City Council discussed the issue during their regular meeting Tuesday. Council members are concerned that city residents pay taxes to receive fire department services, but those outside the city do not. Out-of-city property owners can be billed up to $500 for fire runs, but Fire Chief Greg Felty says those fines are typically ignored. The council proposed alternative ways of ensuring the department gets paid for its services, like billing the insurance companies directly instead of property owners. In the end, council members unanimously approved a motion directing City Attorney Jason Greer to study further and determine a course of action. Reporting from Moorhead State Public Radio News, I'm Jacob Lindberg.
A Lexington woman lost nearly $2,000 to a phone scammer posing as the Fayette County Sheriff's Department. Unfortunately, say real sheriff's deputies, her story isn't unique. According to WKYT, deputies have received about 200 complaints about the scam since February. 23 victims have been scammed out of nearly $28,000. The woman, identified only as Lynn, said she was told by a Sergeant Sellers that she had outstanding fines and was instructed to pay over the phone with prepaid money cards to avoid being arrested. Lynn paid, but when she went to the courthouse to finalize the process, she was told there was no Sergeant Sellers.
I was sick. I have been saving money for myself to buy a new car, and it's gone. Just in the blink of an eye, it's gone.
Deputies say law enforcement officers will never call you to pay to take care of fines or warrants. If you are contacted by suspected scammers, call the Real Fayette County Sheriff's Office at 859-252-1771. Motorists are being advised to be watchful for potential traffic delays this weekend if they're planning to use Interstate 64 in Carter County. Kentucky Transportation Cabinet spokesman Alan Blair says crews from Grayson RECC will be running some utility lines over the highway near that city on Sunday. According to Blair, a rolling roadblock will be utilized while the work is performed.
Which is basically stop the traffic, but they'll keep it moving very slowly as they move those lines across, but they'll block the traffic. And it will move slowly for a little while until they're finished, and then they'll release the traffic to flow normally.
The project is expected to be completed on Sunday, although possible weather issues could change that timeline. Drivers heading through the area should be prepared to adjust their travel times or use alternate routes, such as US 60 on Sunday. Retiring Moorhead State President Wayne Andrews is down to his final 6 weeks at the university. After spending nearly 12 years at MSU, Andrews admits that it's weird to think that his time on campus is nearly over. He adds the hardest part of that process was actually making the decision to retire.
Because I love my work and I love Moorhead State University and the folks here, our students and the like. So, you know, that was really a difficult decision to get to that place to say, okay, this is it. Then once you do that, though, a reality sets in. It's kind of like, oh, my God, I made that decision. You know, what does that mean? And so then you start through this whole process of trying to figure out all the many things that one has to do.
For now, Andrew says he remains busy with the day-to-day challenges of his office and working with his wife, Sue, to prepare to move out of the president's mansion by June 30th. Andrews became MSU's 13th president in 2005. He'll be replaced on July 1st by Dr. Jay Morgan. A Boyd County High School student has been suspended for a year. MSPR's Ellen Barnett has the story.
According to the Ashland Daily Independent, the juvenile was taken into custody on May 5th after another student alerted officials that the boy had a gun in his backpack. The student has been charged with carrying a concealed weapon. District Superintendent Brock Walter says the year-long suspension from school is standard procedure for such a case. The gun had a loaded magazine with nothing in the chamber and was reportedly brought to school by the boy on a dare. For Moorhead State Public Radio News, I'm Ellen Barnett.
And WSAZ is reporting on the disappearance of a West Virginia woman who is believed to be in extreme danger. 21-year-old Kara Jeffrey was last seen by a friend in Huntington on May 1st. Jeffrey's iPhone has been inactive since her disappearance. Jeffrey does not own a car, but police believe she might be in the company of an unidentified man. Kara Jeffrey is of Asian descent and measures 5 feet 4 inches with an athletic build. Anyone with information about Jeffrey or her whereabouts is asked to contact the West Virginia State Police. Turning now to the weather forecast for the MSPR listening region. Tonight, it'll be partly cloudy with scattered showers and thunderstorms overnight, lows around 67 degrees, and a 40% chance of rain. Tomorrow, scattered thunderstorms in the morning, then clearing to clouds during the afternoon, highs around 81 degrees, chance of rain 80%. Tomorrow night, scattered thunderstorms with fog developing late, lows around 66 and a 50% chance of rain. On Saturday, on the beginning of our weekend, we'll see scattered thunderstorms. That chance of rain is 60% with highs near 85 degrees. It's currently sitting at 88 degrees in Ashland right now. It's 86 in Winchester as well as in Lexington, 84 in Inez, 85 in Flemingsburg, and 87 degrees here on the campus of Morehead State University. The time is 4:46. You're tuned in to Mountain Edition here on Morehead State Public Radio. On our feature segment, as spring continues, the weather forecast calls for higher temperatures and fewer rainy days. I took a closer look. The skies are speeding up. That's according to Chuck Greif, a meteorologist at the Jackson office of the National Weather Service. He means that pressure systems are moving more quickly now that summer is sneaking closer, unlike the sluggish systems that spread rainfall over the course of several days in weeks past.
Well, this is something that kind of happens around this time of year, or at least a little earlier in the season than we are right now. It really is conducive for some of the bigger features of the atmosphere to slow down. And that's what we've seen these past 2 or 3 weeks, where we got that rain. And when those things set up, they tend to just drag slowly across the area. Luckily, though, we are moving out of that kind of pattern, and now we're getting into the more typical of approaching mid-spring to late spring pattern, where you get things moving a little more progressively.
Meaning the rain systems may pass through more frequently, but they won't stick around as long.
They won't be like the ones we had these past couple weeks, where they will be a warmer type system as well. So we're looking more for lines of thunderstorms with those, and less of all-day rain type events. So you'll have a chance of rain, but it should be more on the order of 2 or 3 hours rather than all day and really dreary type rain. It's going to be more summery type.
This transition is sometimes abrupt. Greif says he understands why Kentuckians bemoan the shortness of their temperate seasons, but the spring and fall are turbulent by nature.
Throughout the year, we have what we call normals, but it's really kind of hard to get a normal type day and a normal type weather that classifies as normal conditions to last too long, because usually it's just the average of what tends to be a little more extremes, the extreme warmth, extreme cold, or extreme wet conditions, or more extreme dry conditions. So almost like the normal days are more of the rare ones, because those are the ones that are just in the middle of the transition from one little more extreme situation to another.
Looking ahead, Greif says the next 3 months are forecasted to be warmer than usual, but rainfall should hold steady as summer comes into bloom. Reporting for MSPR, I'm Arlo Barnett. And I'm still here. It's 4:49. You're listening to Mountain Edition here on Morehead State Public Radio. Coming up next, it's a check of the sports news with Braxton Howard after this quick break.
Support for MSPR comes from Coffee Tree Books and the Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop, promoting literacy and reading in the MSPR listening area since 1978. Coffee Tree Books, where books are ordered every day and special orders can easily be accommodated, featuring a variety of gifts, cards, locally made crafts, and now a complete yarn shop, a community bookstore located at 159 East Main Street in Morehead. The Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop and Coffee Tree Books are open Monday through Saturday, online, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Good afternoon with Morehead State Public Radio Sports. I'm Braxton Howard. After dropping their first two games at Wrigley Field, the Cincinnati Reds are back in Chicago again today, wrapping up their three-game series with the Cubs. The Cubs lead the Reds 9-4 in the seventh inning currently. It was not a good day for starting pitcher Amir Garrett, who gave up 6 earned runs in just 4 innings of work in his first game back from AAA Louisville. Javier Baez and Chris Bryant have both homered for the Cubs. The way the Reds 7-5 loss to the Cubs ended last night isn't sitting well with manager Brian Price, who wants GM Dick Williams to look at video of a controversial call. With two outs in the top of the ninth, Cubs shortstop Addison Russell fielded a grounder by Joey Votto, but his throw appeared to pull first baseman Anthony Rizzo off the bag. Votto was initially ruled safe, but the Cubs challenged the call and it was reversed after a replay review. From what Price saw of the play on the ballpark's video board, there wasn't enough evidence to reverse the call on the field.
That's not a way to end a ball game, unless they can show us something that's definitive. They can't, shame on them, you know, because, you know, there's nothing as managers we can do because the call's being made in New York, and it better be right. I mean, it better be definitive, because if it's not, we're all going to be pissed here.
The Reds return home tomorrow to open a weekend set with Colorado. Some afternoon scores from around the MLB, the Pirates beat the Nationals 10-4. The Rockies beat the Twins 5-1. Detroit beat Baltimore 6-5. The Rangers lead the Phillies 8-2 in the seventh inning, and the Padres lead the Brewers 1-0 in the fourth. The OVC's top baseball teams begin a season-ending set tonight in Cookeville as Morehead State visits Tennessee Tech. While Tech has already clinched first place, the Eagles need to win just one of their three games with them to nail down the second seed. MSU coach Mike McGuire says at 36-17, including a 22-5 conference mark, the Golden Eagles are an outstanding ball club.
Yeah, and they're very good offensively, and I think everybody wants to look at that. But I also think one of the big things is, you know, they're veteran on the mound. They start two seniors on Friday and Saturday, and I think that's a big part, is just that experience in the starting rotation, and it you know, gives them you know, some veteran, and they got some veteran guys out of their bullpen.
Tonight's series opener starts at 7 o'clock. Despite not playing a single college basketball game last season, University of Kentucky redshirt freshman Hamidou Diallo continues to grab the attention of NBA scouts. According to NBA Draft Express expert Jonathan Genovi, the 6'5", 18-year-old guard was impressive during the testing portion of the recent draft combine, where he recorded a vertical leap of over 44 inches.
Teams picking in the 20s, first-round pick. Three teams have multiple picks in the 20s. Why not, if you take a chance on a 6'6", 18, 19-year-old kid who's got that kind of athleticism?
According to Kentucky.com, Diallo has until next Wednesday to decide if he wants to return to UK or keep his name in the June draft. The NBA today announced the All-NBA teams. James Harden, Russell Westbrook, LeBron James, Kawhi Leonard, and Anthony Davis make up the first team. The second team includes Steph Curry, Isaiah Thomas, Rudy Gobert, Giannis Antetokounmpo, and Kevin Durant. And the third team is John Wall, DeMar DeRozan, Jimmy Butler, Draymond Green, and DeAndre Jordan. Five-star center Mohamed Bamba announced today that he has committed to Texas. Bamba is ranked as the best center and second-best overall player in the class of 2017 by Scout.com. The 6'11 big man chose the Longhorns over Kentucky and Duke. The commitment gives Texas the third-ranked class in the country behind Kentucky and Duke. Some high school basketball notes from around the state. Jackson City boys basketball coach Corey Hoskins has agreed to become the head coach at Buckhorn High School. McGoffin County head coach Robbie Russell has resigned. Russell went 75-67 in five seasons with the Hornets. And Frankie Smith has resigned as the head boys basketball coach at Christian County. He went 56-11 in just two seasons, including winning the second region championship in 2016. Kentucky Derby winner Always Dreaming has been installed as the 4-5 favorite to win the second jewel of horse racing's Triple Crown, the Preakness, which will be run Saturday in Baltimore. The draw for the race was held yesterday, and Always Dreaming earned the number 4 post position. At 3-1 odds, Classic Empire is expected to challenge the favorite in the 10-horse field. Assistant trainer Norm Casey says the Preakness is one of his favorite races.
It's always a fairer race. You don't have 20 horses. You don't have a bunch of horses that don't belong in the race. The Derby's a Derby. It's always going to be a super tough race to win because it's such a crowded race. But things get sorted out a little bit more now here in the Preakness.
Post time for the 142nd running of the Preakness will be at 7:35 on Saturday. And finally in sports, Round County Senior High School shut down for the summer last Friday, but the Vikings football team is getting only a short break. New head coach Kelly Ford is giving his players this week off before they start summer conditioning drills on Monday.
Weightlifting, and then we're doing agility work, working on a lot of footwork things. We've actually installing going into July and into the dead period. That way, when we come off dead period, that we can hit the ground rolling.
The Vikings football team will be holding conditioning workouts 4 days a week until next month's dead period, which will give them a two-week break. That's it for sports. For Morehead State Public Radio, I'm Braxton Howard.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. The annual celebration of MSU Athletics golf outing is on Saturday, June 3rd at Eagle Trace Golf Course. 18 holes of golf, door prizes, continental breakfast, lunch, and refreshments, sponsorships, reservations, and more information from the MSU Office of Alumni Relations and Development at 877-690-4483.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. stocks closed higher, recovering from their worst day of 2017 as investors assess President Donald Trump's chances of moving forward with his pro-growth agenda. And the Dow Industrials did finish with a gain of 56.09 at 20,663.02. At session highs, the blue chip average was up over 100 points. The S&P 500 was up 8.69 at 2365.72, and the NASDAQ Composite was up 43.89 at 6055.13. New York Stock Exchange breadth was just about flat as winning stocks were about equal with losing stocks. And, of course, stocks did hit their session highs after a C-SPAN video from earlier in the month was circulating on trading floors. And some traders interpreted this as former FBI Director James Comey saying he was never pressured to end an FBI probe on Russian influence in the Trump administration or the election. And, of course, at that point, the markets were up over 100 points before easing late in the session. In Europe, markets were down, with Britain's Financial Times index down 0.9%, and Germany's DAX index was down about 0.3%. And in Asia, markets were down as well, with the Nikkei down 1.3% and Shanghai down almost 0.5%. In the commodities space today, oil made a rebound as crude finished up about 0.5% at $49.33 a barrel. Gold was down 0.84%, finishing at $1,248.10 an ounce. Among Dow industrial stocks, your best performers were Walmart and United Health Group. The worst performers were Cisco and Boeing. In the S&P 500, the best performers were Insight and CarMax, and the worst performers were Cisco and Mallinckrodt. Turning out of stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global up 68 cents at 64.08, CSX up 76 cents at 50.23, AEP up 15 cents at 68.30, AK Steel down 2 cents at 5.45, Marathon Petroleum down 11 cents at 51.94, and Anthem was up 63 cents to finish at 176.75. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Turning once again to look at the weather forecast for the MSPR listening region, tonight we'll see partly cloudy skies, scattered showers and thunderstorms later, chance of rain is 40%, lows around 67 degrees. Tomorrow, scattered thunderstorms in the morning, we'll see an 80% chance of rain throughout the day, highs around 81 degrees. Tomorrow night, scattered thunderstorms in the evening, then tapering off into the night. Chance of rain 50%, fog developing late, lows around 66 degrees. On Saturday, at the beginning of our weekend, we'll see scattered thunderstorms, a 60% chance of rain, highs near 85 degrees. That night, partly cloudy, scattered showers and thunderstorms, another 50% chance, 69 degrees. On Sunday, thunderstorms likely with an 80% chance of precipitation, highs around 75 degrees. And Sunday night, we'll see rain ending early and then clearing later. Thunderstorms possible, lows around 57 degrees and a 70% chance of rain. It's currently 88 degrees in Ashland, 86 in Winchester, 86 as well in Lexington, 84 in Inez, 85 in Flemingsburg, and 87 degrees here in Moorhead. That'll do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Meraz, Ellen Barnett, Braxton Howard, Sean Delaney, and Jacob Lindberg. From the Ohio News Connection, Mary Sherman. From the foothills to the mountains, it's Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead, and translator W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For all of the MSPR News team, I'm Arlo Barnett for Morehead State Public Radio News. All things considered from NPR, coming up next, it's 5 o'clock.